The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
One of the Menendez brothers is suffering from a serious medical condition, and it could impact how quickly he is able to get out of prison if they end up releasing him when that comes around again. But before we get into that, I want to talk about some really interesting internet lore that I feel like is going to sound a bit like a fever dream to y'all. But we've been talking so much about Ozzy Osbourne that I feel like I can't skip over this very bizarre, very out-of-pocket story that I think I may have brought up once before on this show. And it has everything to do with the fact that maybe Ozzy Osbourne is being reincarnated as a... as an influencer's new baby. Now, have I talked to you guys about Trisha Paytas before?
I don't think I remember.
Why is she, like, what is she famous for? I keep seeing her against my will.
She's honestly just like a YouTube clown. Like, I always feel like she's doing some kind of weird side quest, but now I feel like she's kind of leveled out to, like, just this fun podcaster that people listen to. And she got married a couple of years ago, and she's had three kids, and there's this running conspiracy theory that every time she has a new baby, it is going to be a famous person that dies around the time of her famous baby is being reincarnated into her child. And this all started when she had her first baby, Malibu Barbie, born in September 2022, which was right after the Queen of England had passed away.
That is the child's name, Malibu Barbie.
And then she had a second baby that they named Elvis. And then people thought that maybe it was Barbara Walters being reincarnated as that baby because her death was also around the same time. And now she's given birth to a third child, which has a very interesting superhero name. And people are like, well, this is perfect timing. There are a couple of celebrities that recently passed away. Maybe this one is Ozzy Osbourne. And this one is even more crazy because on her podcast, she recently revealed the name of her child. And in my opinion, this should not be legal.
Names I really, really loved were Paper Mate. I loved Water Snake. It was so close. I was really, really close to that. And I did love Moses Jr. too. I really loved that too. And I liked Aladdin. It wasn't water themed, but I always loved Aladdin. Moses hated that.
Okay, it is...
And his name is Aquaman, and not Aqua. They put Aqua on his little thing, and I was like, can we change that? It's Aquaman. And then someone put Agua. I was like, it's Aquaman. And I said it loud and proud in the C-section room. They're like, what's your baby's name? And I was like, Aquaman. I'm like, what was that? Because I had my oxygen mask on. I'm like, Aquaman.
How are you spelling it?
Exactly as you see, Aquaman.
But it's like lowercase M? Or
yeah, it's one word. It's Aquaman. Technically, we did give the middle name Moses to him. So he's Aquaman Moses.
Oh, that was
Moses.
A follow-up question.
Yes, I love it. I don't even care. I was like, oh my God, no one's guessing it. People hate it. I think it's so weird. But honestly, like, it's so iconic. It's the best name in the whole world.
Wow, she's obnoxious.
Maybe don't deserve it.
Aquaman is the legal name. I thought it was a joke. I kept looking for... I'm like, this has to be some kind of nickname because sometimes influencers will do that. They'll call their baby something completely random on the internet for privacy reasons. But no, as far as we know, her baby is named Aquaman.
I always thought it was weird when governments were like, you can't name your babies these names, restricted names. And then I listen to this and I'm like, oh, I understand now. Yeah, I get it.
It's always good to have your baby's name as a prank for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
That's good policy.
Yeah, it's going to... Honestly, weirdly enough for their family, I feel like it's on brand that he'll probably be able to get away with a lot of stuff moving forward. All right, back to the Menendez brothers. So, of course, a little backstory if you have no idea who the Menendez brothers are. They were sentenced to life in prison after killing both of their parents back in the 90s. But a lot of people have been on this campaign to try and get them released because a lot of the documentaries and new evidence that has come out in recent years show that it is possible that their father was incredibly, incredibly abusive to them and their mom was complicit in it. And a lot of people feel like if people like Gypsy Rose Blanchard are getting released from prison for committing heinous crimes and but also having suffered child abuse, there should be some grace there. So they have a parole hearing coming up in August, and his lawyer is pushing for Eric Menendez to either be released early or at least get medical furlough so he can focus on the hearing, because apparently he is currently going through a serious medical condition that is bad enough that he's been hospitalized behind bars, although they're not giving us an exact cause of what's happening. So if the parole board approves it next month, the case will then go to Governor Gavin Newsom, and he will have the final say on whether or not both of the Menendez brothers walk free. But for right now, people are just focusing on his health and whether or not it could speed up that process.
The Burt Show.
Even before I get into the email here, what's your knee-jerk reaction that Barbies now are in some way scandalous?
Not surprising.
No?
As somebody who played with Barbies, yeah. I know what's going on behind closed doors.
What's scandalous about what's going on behind closed doors in your house?
What's not scandalous about having Barbies? It's like the original real world. Like the imagination of an eight-year-old would send the Hills producers into a tizzy. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily the Barbies. It's what the girls are doing with the Barbies. It's the scandalous part.
Correct. Yeah. If the dream houses are rocking, don't come and knock it. Like my Barbies had full on escapades with my brother's G.I. Joes. I even think He-Man got into the mix one
really?
Time.
Wow. He-Man was a player for sure.
Right? I felt bad for She-Ra.
I always made them cheat on each other. There was always some kind of love triangle.
Mm-hmm. I am so, all I did was cut my Barbie's hair. Aww. I'm the weird, oh my God, I'm weird Barbie.
You are weird Barbie.
Oh, I never had like fun Barbie orgies.
Sorry. This is the email. So I have a sweet young daughter who is obsessed with her Barbies. I love this for her and me because I too had a mild Barbie obsession when I was her age. But lately, Barbie's world has gotten .. spicy.
Well, she is a grown woman.
Doing grown woman things.
Mm-hmm. Grown things.
The other day, I overheard her playing and quickly realized her Barbies weren't just having a tea party. Nope. They were doing it. Like, full on. Here's the quote. Mom, they're having a baby now. Doing it. There have been pregnancies, dramatic breakups, and even affairs.
Salute.
At one point, one of the Barbies slept with Captain America and Iron Man in the same day.
Get it, Barbie.
What a day!
She got some power.
That is Barbie's dream house.
You guys, she says, what is happening? She doesn't seem fazed by any of it. Just matter-of-factly narrating these wild storylines. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here wondering if I'm raising the next Shonda Rhimes or if I should start looking into getting her a child therapist.
Hey, so two things can be true at the same time.
So here's my question. Is this normal? Like, is this just imaginative play gone wild or should I be concerned? I'd love to hear from other parents. Has anyone else walked in on a full-on Barbie soap opera before? Thanks for any help and keeping me laughing from Barbie's manager / crisis PR. All right, 1-855-BURT-SHOW. Okay, what has your kids done with their Barbies that is unspeakable?
I mean, Abby and I just told you, like, again, I had the Barbie dream house because I remember that was one Christmas gift that I received one year. And it's like, it's the one Christmas gift I will always remember. There's always that one gift. Mo, sure. For you, it was
Sega Genesis.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a big day for me.
Abby, for you?
For what's
there's one Christmas gift you got as a kid that you will never forget that is going to be like that quintessential best Christmas gift I ever received as a kid. For me, it was the Barbie dream house.
I didn't get a Barbie dream house, but I did get like one of those old Victorian style dream houses that was so beautiful because I'm a Pride and Prejudice kid. Like I watched Food Network growing up. You know what I mean? Like I wanted the one that looked like a grandma lived there.
My Barbie had her convertible. She would ride around with different G.I. Joes. I can't remember the name of the G.I. Joe. I think he was like the emergency responder G.I. Joe in the all white. Was there an all white G.I. Joe?
I don't remember him.
Oh, but
probably
then,
though.
Because my brother had G.I. Joes. He had He-Man characters. He also had Star Wars characters. So my Barbies were getting around Han Solo.
Really?
Yeah. He could get some.
Who knew?
So this is almost tradition. Good morning, Rainey. You were on the Burt Show.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I had the pregnant Barbie when it came out with the attachable belly, the magnetic belly, and my mom walked into a soap opera where it was, you know, S-word Barbie sleeping around with someone that was not Ken, and, you know, yeah, it was just a very telenovela soap opera, very fast, and my mom's like, what? And I'm just like, well, we watch a lot of soap operas, and, you know, so-and-so's with everyone's, like, cousin, mother, brother, dad.
So they're just emulating what they're seeing on TV.
Uh-huh. You literally looked at your mother and said, I learned it from you.
Yeah, literally.
Seriously.
Now we need a Ken doll that looks like Maury.
Yeah, or right. Yeah. Who is the father?
So if you're answering the email, this is just kind of common practice. Don't be alarmed. I mean, look at you guys. You ended up just right.
We're totally right in that. It's a canon event for women, for girls, I guess, under the age of 10. And then you grow up and then you start watching it on TV.
Maybe a child therapist isn't that bad of an idea.
The Burt Show. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Nick Cannon is launching a new podcast, and people are absolutely losing it over the topic he's going to be covering. Because if you don't know anything about Nick Cannon has 12 kids by 6 different women, which I feel like people kind of get on him about. And he is now stepping into a new career venture with a new podcast he is calling Nick Cannon at Night. And everything he's going to be covering and talking about on this podcast is none other than relationship advice. It's set to launch today on July 23rd via Wondery Plus, and he's going to respond to audience questions about love and sex and film in front of an LA live crowd, and also bring in experts and celebrities.
Who has ever looked at Nick Cannon and the way he handles relationships and then said, that's the guy I'd want to take advice from?
Do we really know what he's like as a partner, though? I mean, we know he's knocking out kids left and right.
Not really.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of impressive now that you mention that, that it seems for the most part, I think there was one woman who came out and wasn't speaking very highly of him. But for the most part, I think they are fairly quiet about who he really is.
So let's come up with a list of celebrities that we will not be taking relationship advice from. Jennifer Lopez is at the top of my list.
For sure.
Yep. I also say that Steve Harvey. Loves to give relationship
advice. Writing books on it, making movies on it, but really hasn't had the most successful track record of marriage.
What's his history?
He's been married, I want to say, 3 times. I think I'm accurate on that. And so people kind of give him a lot of smoke for writing books and creating movies on how to have the perfect relationship because you haven't really had it.
How do you know it if you haven't had it?
Yeah. Right. At this point, I don't think I would take a lot of that kind of advice from Pete Davidson. We're starting to warm up in that area now, but as far as relationships go,
what would be interesting to hear Pete Davidson talk about is I feel like he's dated so many of like pop culture's divas. Like he's dated Kim Kardashian, he's dated Ariana Grande, so it's like he could write, I think, a really funny book about how to handle the diva in your life.
John Mayer.
I'm not taking advice from that man.
Leonardo, even though he's softened over the years also, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Leonardo DiCaprio comes to mind for me. I'm all set.
Game over.
No thanks. I'll take it from here, buddy. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it comes out today. If you want to listen to it, it's on Wondery Plus. It'll be very interesting to hear what kind of advice he gives. Maybe he's actually more of an expert than we anticipate because he is juggling so many different relationships and kids from different women. Okay, there's a rumor going around that I think is a little bit less surprising than Nick Cannon starting a relationship advice podcast, and it has everything to do with Harry Styles and how the fact that he's going to release everything except for new music, because we all clicked on Harry Styles' Instagram story the other day expecting to see a new teaser for a single because it's been a hot second. He had the song of the summer a few years back as it was. He's also had Watermelon Sugar, and we're like, save us, Harry Styles, save us from the fact that it's 2025 and we don't have a summer single yet. And instead, he just reposted a cryptic Instagram reel from his company Pleasing, and it shows somebody placing a glass of milk on a table before tapping something in Morse code. And then from behind a wall, a woman is sneakily listening in and looks scandalized by what she hears. And then the caption says, for those playing at home, before teasing the details of what some people are assuming is going to be a launch event in New York City later this week. Then the Pleasing post also asked fans to quote unquote crack the code via a link, which took them to a page on the site that said this was intended for individuals 18 years of age or older. Something Pleasing is coming. So now people are making the assumption that Harry Styles is about to release a line of intimate toys.
What? No, he's not.
That's what people are assuming based off the fact that it says you need to be 18 years of older. This page is intended for adults only.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, but does
it? No, there is. Where's your new single, Harry? We didn't ask for this. We didn't ask for a vibrator that's going to buzz to the tune of Watermelon Sugar.
So let me ask you guys a question. This is a sexist question. Marketing-wise, it's a little odd for a guy to come out with a signature brand of sex toys if they are for women.
But what if it's a mold?
Stop.
A mold of Harry?
Oh, he would never.
Really? Would you ever have pegged Harry Styles for putting out a line of toys?
No.
Because I wouldn't have.
No.
But it makes sense. But I mean, could you imagine how many you would sell? Are you kidding me? I might buy one just for the curiosity.
Does there have any credibility when a guy comes out with a line that is predominantly, let's just assume, it's predominantly for women?
No, because I feel like women know women's pleasure right. better than men, sadly. But that's just my own personal belief. All right, so Bert and Mo, how much money for you to put out a replica of your manhood for an adult toy line?
Nothing, because the ROI for women would be so low that I would just be ripping you off no matter what. No matter what I charge, it would be too much.
Okay, regardless, nobody buys it, whatever.
Okay.
A company comes to you and says, hey, we want to do a model of your Lil Bert.
Yeah.
How much
Lil
money?
Bert. Well, Lil Bert. Is that the name of it on the package?
I think I can refer to it that way. I don't think you can.
Okay, then Big Bert.
That makes me just as uncomfortable.
Yeah, I feel like we're at Sesame Street.
I know, right?
$5 million.
$5 million.
$5 million.
How much?
Well, Mo's at $5 million. I'll go at $1 million.
Okay. You can't go any higher than that.
Take a mil for every inch?
Hey, yo!
I can't confirm the difference, but maybe.
Yeah, we're going to get out of this one. For more stories, head to the Bert Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Bert Show.
Before we even start here, I want an apology.
Oh, sorry, you weren't on the email. I just forwarded it to you. However, it's been on the soft for quite a while.
Has it?
Okay. Yes.
I am very guilty of not reading through email sometimes. And yes. Kristen gave me a very condescending, stern, like, I sent you the email yesterday, and I just want the apology.
I did send the email yesterday. You were not on it because I knew you wouldn't help decorate.
Okay. That's fair.
That is fair.
But I apologize for that.
And I apologize for thinking I had you on the email, but you were not. That's a story for tomorrow. You will understand we're planning a party. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and I use those terms loosely for people in this room. There's an imposter among us, we have to figure out who the imposter is.
Okay.
And the only way we can figure that out is by playing the imposter game.
The world-renowned?
The world-renowned, the world-famous imposter game.
The imposter game is just the one happening in my head. But I think it's called imposter syndrome.
That is correct.
I think all of us.
Do all of us have that?
Yeah, probably.
Well, imposter syndrome? Well,
yeah. No.
You do not?
Nope. I used
good
to.
For you.
Really?
Not anymore, because I started looking at other people who do things similar to me. And there are some geniuses out there. And there are some people who I'm like, what do you mean you don't know the difference between a reel and a story?
I feel like I have fooled everybody for an entire career. Yeah.
I think once I realized that half the people are faking it and there's no one person who will know everything. And in fact, there is no way to be a guru or possibly know everything. I became a lot more comfortable.
Huh.
Now, if I went to work at like CNN, I would definitely be an imposter. But in this situation, I'm great.
Sure.
All right. So I found this on Smosh. So at Smosh, they are like a comedy group, right? And they played the imposter game. And I'm like, we got to attempt to do this on the Bert Show. So the people playing, it's going to be Bert, Abby, Mo, and Cassie. All right. And our intern has the bucket with the items, the pieces of paper in it. So before she passes them around, I'm going to tell you how we play this game. So there's four pieces of paper on there. On three pieces of paper is the same word. It's a person, place, or thing. All right. It's the same word. So three of you will be in the know. You will know what this word is. And one person will receive a piece of paper that has the word imposter.
Okay.
So you have no clue what the other word is. You just have imposter. So you have to try to sell it that you know what the word is. All right. Mm-hmm. So each one of you, you're going to go around and you're going to say one word to describe what you're reading. Okay. So, for example, here they are playing the game. See if you can figure out who the imposter is. There's four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Three people have the same word. One person is the imposter.
Ocean.
Swimming.
Wet. Clown. Family.
Movie.
Farm. Water. Fish.
Dentist.
Wide.
It's a Rasha.
It's a Rasha.
Why?
Wide?
Guys, think about it.
No.
Okay, what's yours? You do your last word.
My last word is Ellen.
Okay, Arasha.
So she said wide, and everybody automatically knew she was the imposter because their word was Nemo.
Okay.
So if you heard their words, all of their words describe the movie Nemo, Finding Nemo. And she had the first couple of rounds, but then they realized like she's the imposter. So you are going to listen to each other.
Okay.
And so Bert, Mo, Abby, Cassie, you're going to try to figure out between the four of you who the imposter is. And the listeners can play along as well.
When does the imposter get called out?
Whenever you feel like you know who it is.
Okay.
At any point in time, if you think you know who the imposter is, you can call them out. All right?
Got it.
So go ahead and pass out. Go ahead and select your piece of paper, letting you know if you have the word. And don't tell everybody what it is. That kind of defeats the purpose of the game.
My word's imposter. What does that mean?
Oh, my God. If you did that, that would be so bad. All right. And we're going to start with Bert.
Okay.
And you're going to throw out the first word, and then you're just going to go around the horn. So Bert, Abby, Mo, Cassie.
Okay. And it doesn't have to be as fast as them, right?
No. That was edited way down.
Okay. Band.
Yellow.
Music.
Trombone.
English.
Cheating.
Great.
British.
Divorced.
Jumbotron.
Ice.
Screen.
I think I know who the imposter is.
I do too. Okay.
Is it? I was going to say Mo.
So I was going to say Cassie.
I was going to say Mo also.
I was going to say Bert.
All right, hold on a second.
Are we too dumb for this game?
Maybe. Okay, let's go around the room one more time. Everybody throw out one more word, and at the end, you guess who the imposter is.
Okay.
Okay.
Don't mess up.
Paltrow.
Startup.
Chris.
Tech.
All right. Who do you think the imposter is?
Okay, now I think it's Cassie.
Cassie.
Yeah.
Good job.
All right.
Well, wait, what was the word?
Coldplay.
Oh.
What was startup?
Like I was thinking about the cheating scandal with the astronomer CEO.
Oh, and that's why I said tech. Yeah.
Okay.
Tech is
what got it away. You laid a trap and I walked right into it.
All right, we got one more. We're going to pass them around.
Did you say trombone, Cassie?
That's because they were saying yellow and stuff.
That's
and
also when I thought maybe it was you. And then you said ice. And I'm like, how does ice?
Cold.
Yeah, somebody said yellow and band, and so I was like, trap out.
I knew cold would throw the imposter. That's why I did that.
Oh. Uh-huh.
All right, so everybody has, it's a person, place, or thing that you have to describe, again, with one word.
Okay.
And you got to figure out who the imposter is.
Okay.
This time we're going to start with Cassie, who was the imposter last time.
Jewish.
Strong.
Imposter.
Cocky.
Short.
Arrogant.
I already have a guess of who I think it is. Eloquent.
You're the imposter.
Yeah, I think Abby's the imposter.
Is that a joke?
No.
I'm not the imposter.
Okay. Dashing.
Harry.
Are you the imposter?
I am not.
Oh, we're down to two.
I think I know it is.
Talented.
You better not be the imposter.
Atlanta.
Mo's the imposter?
I am.
Yeah.
What was the word?
Bert Weiss.
You used the word talented.
Strong. I said strong.
Wait, arrogant didn't get
I did
you.
Say no. Yes.
Oh, you said arrogant, and I was like, damn. He's trying to get a rise out of the air.
It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show. The Bert Show.
I feel like in life, whenever people talk about what you should look for in a partner, we're used to hearing all of the typical things, right? You should look for somebody who's loyal, somebody who's faithful, somebody who's funny, somebody who has a good career.
Nice butt. Nice butt in there?
Nice butt is definitely in there, Bert, for sure. And height is in there.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget the hairline.
Hairline is very important. All of these things they're great, but they're typical. But one thing I've never heard somebody say that I should have looked for in a partner when I was on my search is what this woman brought up. And I got this from the Gospel Tea on TikTok, and I think this advice is amazing.
Number one characteristic that is slept on when I hear people talking about what they're looking for in a partner, faith, finances, fitness, all that is super important. Find someone who can suffer well. If you have been fortunate enough not to experience major tragedy in your life yet, that's great. But it is not an if, it is a when. Tragedy is going to befall all of us. None of us are getting out of this simulation without getting some serious scrapes and bruises. We're all going to lose parents if you haven't yet. Some of us will lose children. You're going to face sickness. You're going to face hardship. And if you have somebody next to you that suffers poorly, they are going to add to the problem, not help remove some of the burden. I can't imagine having a sick child and then the person next to me making it worse and not better. Find somebody who can suffer well.
Ooh, nailed it.
Damn. Like Bart and I have been our strongest when we were at our lowest.
Ooh.
And when Mo sent this, I was like, we are getting this on the air ASAP. This is like a fantastic find. And Bart's not my partner in crime. He's my partner in suffering. Like, you need to have somebody that can hang in the lows and that can hang in the highs.
I don't think I've given the people that I've been with up until now the opportunity to be that person for me. Because I've always handled my stuff internally. You know, I was taught, like, put your head down, handle it yourself, don't be a burden to anybody. So I don't think I've legitimately allowed somebody to be that until now.
See, and for me, I've been like that with everyone in my life except my partner. Like, that's the one person that I would open up like that to and be that vulnerable to. And she's right. Not everybody can handle that. Not everybody is equipped for that. And unfortunately, we are all going to be in that place at some point. And you certainly need to find somebody who is going to be able to go through it with you in a way that will actually help.
Yeah, just remember this. I kind of got chewed out for this a couple of weeks ago. I went into one of my reclusive, like, hey, I'm going to handle this myself kind of things because things weren't going well in a couple of different areas. It was also that week that I had the therapy session after Cassie and I talked on the bonus content and how I kind of blew up there. And I was just going back and reclusive because that's how I handle it, right? And Amanda's like, nah, you're not allowed to do that, man. Those days are over, bro. So it's a lesson that I'm trying to learn right now.
Yeah, I'm definitely out here searching for someone to help me share life's burdens, but mainly the burden of capitalism. So let's suffer under this tax break together.
All right, Rebecca, while we're here talking about dating, what do you got? Your 30s.
There is this stereotype that once you turn 30 and you are still single, you are just a dried up husk of the former self, just a corn, just a raisin in the sun. And
spinster.
Just a spinster. And I felt that because I was single when I turned 30. And the day I turned 30, suddenly my moisturizer cost me $200, which I don't think is a requirement. I think that's kind of on me. But no, I am fighting the stereotype because the truth is people in their 30s who are single, they're not desperate for love. They're actually more discriminating.
You think?
I think so. Huh. I have evidence, and they are my friends who are all flirty and 30 and thriving. It seems like all of my 31-year-plus friends are all, like, super chill about being single. We're all just, like, kind of acting like we're in our 20s, but now our brains are developed, and we have more money, and we're a little bit more confident about the way we look. So it's kind of a vibe. Uh-huh. So my evidence is the things that my friends told me happened on first dates, that if it had happened in our 20s, there's no way we would have ever not said yes to a second date. It would have totally just been brushed under the rug and we would have dated them for like 3 months situationships. But no second dates now that you're in their 30s. Okay, here's the first one. My guy friend went on a date with a man, and every time the conversation trailed off, the guy would sing back his last sentence to him.
What? Random.
What? Every single time. He said, "I'm originally from Orlando," and the guy went, "Orlando."
I think it was a musical.
Is insane.
That's fantastic. No.
At any point in time, did she point out this odd behavior?
They're gay, so I think maybe like they just thought like musicals. Gays love musicals. It was just like, it was not going to work out. They were not compatible.
Like, do you say something in that moment or do you just let it ride?
I say stop. Yeah. I go, what was that? Yeah.
I gotta know where that originated and why you do that.
He let it ride, but no second date.
No second date.
Okay, this one is like semi-political, but not really. A waiter told a man my friend was on a date with that he looked like J.D. Vance, and he asked, "Is that an actor?"
Oh, okay. Just so not aware at all.
That's pretty bad.
You don't know it's the vice president.
Yeah, okay. That's not good.
He was just wearing eyeliner.
Okay, this one's mine, and I have told it before. I went on a date with a dude who I bonded with over our love of anime, and when napkins blew away during our dinner, he exclaimed in loud anime-style Japanese, and he was not Asian.
Please do the impression. It's so funny.
Okay, so the napkins blew away, and we're at a picnic table surrounded by people, and he goes, "Nani?"
What?
In Japanese, that means what? And it's not how a normal Japanese person would talk. He was talking like he's Tommy Pickles from Rugrats, basically. Like a cartoon. No second date. Okay, her first date asked her to pick up food and bring it to his house. His first date ordered food to go at the end of dinner for her roommate on his tab.
No.
Not happening.
Mm-mm. Her first date asked her to grab a drink with him and then sit in the front row of the audience of his stand-up show in the same night.
Dang. Yeah. Okay. Mm.
Yeah, he had booked a show and a date, and he wanted to two for one.
That was the date. That's funny.
Yeah. Her date kept shooting down second date plans to suggest ideas where she would be wearing a bathing suit. Mm. He sat crisscross applesauce.
That was it. No crisscrossing.
But
if you're sitting on the ground, how's the dude supposed to sit?
With your legs straight out.
I would be on a hip.
You'd be like on a, like yeah, a side, I can't like a side sit, saddle?
I don't know if that's better.
I can't sit that way.
That might be worse. Like if you sit on the ground, how are you sitting on the ground?
Yeah, leg straight.
Leg straight?
Or one up, one down.
Like leg straight with your hands behind you?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that way.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
A perfect split. Okay. He told her he threw up before their date because he was really nervous.
Oh, ew.
I've done that.
You should, but it's also kind of sweet.
Yeah,
No. Are you kidding me? If Bart looked you dead in the eyes and said, "I threw up before this."
Now give me a kiss.
I'm romantic.
On your 1 year anniversary, that's a cute confession, but right before the date, I'm not kissing you.
No.
Okay. I would hope if you threw up, you... Did we know if he did this in the privacy of his home and was able to brush his teeth afterwards?
I know you missed a spot.
Bert, did you say you did?
Yeah, I did that like when I was 19, 20 years old. Yeah.
You vomed before a date?
Uh-huh.
Was it with Debbie Pierce?
No, never. I was safe with Debbie.
Martin's safe.
Debbie Pierce, your first love.
Okay, this is my final one, and I do think it's the worst one. He told her she looks like Sloth from Ice Age and meant it as a compliment.
Hell, wow. It's horrible.
No, yeah. That's complete ghosting at that point.
Yeah. If they were in their 20s, they'd already be together, moving in.
Good luck out there. It's the Bert Show.
Hey, the Bert Show.